For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Friday, September 8th. We are glad you are here, and we are glad to talk wrestling with you for the next hour and a half. We have a great guest coming on in just a little while. His name is SP3, and he's with True Hill Heat. We are excited. He was at All Out last weekend, and it's just going to be a good show. But as we start every show, Maggie, how are you?
Everything sucks, Rob, and I'll tell you why.
I'm all happy and okay, let's go.
So, you know, I made it quite clear I'm depressed, you know, ever since I came back from All Out from London. And, you know, I'm walking home from work and I was like, yeah, okay, like, let's do this. I'm about to have, you know, my show with Rob and I'll get a bit giggy. I'll get cheery and everything, because like it's not always, you know, gray skies and whatnot. So I decide to go to the supermarket and get some chocolate, and of course I got Snickers. Mm. Look how big that is. So naturally, yeah. When you know I'm a never, woman, when I see something big, I buy it. So look, it's a three-parter. You know, like three pieces of Snickers in it. And hear what it said: for me, for you, and for later. For later, but for who?
For you.
Is it for me or is it for you?
No, for later, like, for you.
But it's for me, for you, for later. Oh. For later, for who?
Well, no, it's saying it for you again. Like, hey, this is for me. This is
but
for
there's
you.
There's one that says for you.
Who gives a damn? It's yours.
This is why I'm single, because this will all be for me if I ever have someone.
Oh, yeah. I
like fuck off and die. Like this will forever be mine.
That's all it took, Snickers bar, for Maggie to say F off and die. See, like that's the thing. Like, see, like you're a huge chocolate fan. I'm a big fan of Skittles. Like I love Skittles. I wouldn't share a bag of Skittles with somebody. I just wouldn't.
Never.
Yeah,
like ever.
They get the hand, the backhand, like my microphone just did.
Sure. I'm from time to time I buy Mars bars, because I, being a forever BTE fan, I want to try a deep fried Mars bar, because like the Elite always ate that in Japan, and naturally I want to try that. But because there's nothing like that in Bulgaria, I decided to buy, you know, Mars bars. But like during the pandemic, they were all out and all they had was Snickers. And I'm like, well, I guess I'll eat Snickers then. And now we're up to, you know, this bombshell of Snickers that looks like a dildo. And now I'm, you know, for me, for you, for later. Okay, like, that's fine. I'm not saying sorry because I'm depressed.
No, you don't need to.
I don't care. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm allowed to I'm allowed to be this depressed and be all over the place. By the way, my friend Alex, who's a a fan of the show, who comes to my bar, he left me a tip today and said I want another granny story.
Okay.
Yeah, so let me tell you a quick granny story. This was way back in 2014 when she was living in Greece. She was taking care of old people who were ridiculously younger than her. So it's like she was taking care of old people there, and I hadn't seen her in 10 years. Mm-hmm. So we went with my parents to Greece. It took a 14-hour ride with a ferry. And that was the most fun I had for 1 month, the ferry ride. So we got off, the ship, and I see my grandmother on the rails, and she's like waving to us. And this is the first time I'm seeing her in 10 years. And I'm like, oh my God, Grandma, I missed you so much. And she was like, you're going bald.
Okay.
And wow. I'm like, I miss you too, Grandma. And she was like, no, you're going bald. And I'm like, sure, shucks, Grandma. Hi, I love you too. Let's talk some wrestling. Thank you, Alex, for the tip. I'm sorry, Rob, that you don't get a piece of it.
No, that's okay. We do have a super chat already from our great friend Ryan Sullivan. He says, missing today, but just wanted to say hello to Mob and Raggy. All right.
That's way more fun thing to call us than Barney and Ethel.
Yeah.
He's going to put this out there. I almost forgot about Barney and Ethel, by the way.
So, yeah. Because, get in those super chats and humper chats. We'd greatly appreciate them. It helps this show so much and it goes a long ways. But, Maggie, let's go ahead and start. We have a guest, like I said, later, SP3. So, we're going to talk all out in a little while. But right now, we got another super chat. We'll just go ahead and read that quick. Our good friend Amber sends us a super chat.
Amber is sending me money for my coffee and all in.
She says, checking in to say hi to my favorite Friday fun. Have a great show, and we'll catch up after work. Well, thank you so much for checking in. We appreciate that very much. So, Maggie, like I said, we'll talk about AEW in a little while. Raggy. Okay. So, we know that last week on SmackDown, Cody Rhodes talked about using his power.
Pulling some strings.
Yeah, pulling some strings that he had to get Jey Uso over to Raw. Now, my question is, did he move those strings around to get himself to SmackDown? What are your thoughts? What do you think is Cody's plan with this? Because he's just not going to go do it for the hell of it. What do you think Cody's doing here? I want to hear your thoughts.
Well, the most logical thing here is for him to be traded SmackDown, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's the way that you put him back in the Roman Reigns title picture, right? But what if he gets someone else there? Like, what if he gets Kevin Owens there?
Ooh, that'd be weird. But I mean, that's the thing. It's like, ooh, interesting.
Yeah, like everything can happen. Like, what if he is using his powers, to actually send people who... But like, I know that WWE will never turn Cody Rhodes heel. Like, yeah. Well, not never. Just not now. What if he, sends some people to soften up Roman Reigns, and you just know that Kevin Owens is going to go straight for Roman Reigns, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but like,
you freeze? Yep.
No, I didn't. Okay. I'm just thinking really, really long. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
It's the natural thing to do. Cody would be heading SmackDown, but I did like Denise's theory that Akira Tozawa, okay? It's Akira Tozawa. He's heading to SmackDown.
Just, that would be
so random, right? Like, no one would give a crap.
Yes, I know. It'd be weird. But hey, you know what? If they let Akira Tozawa actually be Akira Tozawa from Dragon Gate, I'd be all for it.
Yeah, Akira Tozawa is an amazing wrestler, but like, people who only watch WWE would have no clue about that.
So, yeah, like, no, I know. That's the thing. That's just.
Yeah, yes. But most definitely, I'll be surprised if it's not Cody Rhodes heading to SmackDown.
Yeah.
And if he is, do you think that they're going the Royal Rumble way? Do you think that they're going to give Cody Rhodes another Royal Rumble win? And then he challenges for the championship at WrestleMania 40.
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
You think they're going to give him two Royal Rumble wins? And, well, like one after the other. Is there another way? Like, do you like give the Royal Rumble winner to the WWE champion? Yeah, WWE champion, right? Because Roman is the Universal champion.
Yeah.
Undisputed WWE champion. I don't care anymore. Like, it's titles. Seth Rollins' title. That's what I'm thinking. Do you think that they give the Royal Rumble winner to Seth or whoever holds that championship?
No. The person that's going to face Roman Reigns, is that what you're asking?
I'm asking, will the Royal Rumble winner challenge Seth or Roman?
Oh, they're going after Roman, for sure. It's going to be after, Roman.
Yeah, like, you think that Roman Reigns will have an opponent at, you know, after Royal Rumble. You think that the person who wins the Royal Rumble will challenge Roman and not Seth?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Like, I would like it to be another one, just so, because Roman Reigns having a match at WrestleMania is already a big thing. The Royal Rumble winner going for the other title, for me, will be putting over the other title. But on the other hand, if you win the Royal Rumble, you want to challenge... No. The first thing that I said, this will put over the other title if the Royal Rumble winner goes for that title.
Yeah. The other thing, too, I want to say is, like, and I see somebody in chat, Bonkers, say it. I can actually see Cody Rhodes doing double time, like, for a little bit. I could see him doing Raw and SmackDown for a little while. I think that's probably, that could be part of the trade. Where he says he'll work SmackDown, but he wants to stay on Raw too. I could see that, because why would you not do that? You know what I mean?
He has a child.
I know, but I'm not saying like forever. I'm just saying he'll do it for like a couple of weeks. You know, I'm just spitballing here, because there's a couple of reasons why this comes to mind. Raw is about to get hit. Usually, like it always does in the ratings, and I don't like talking about ratings because it really doesn't matter to us because we're not in advertising. However, WWE
is it the football thing that you guys have?
Yeah.
It's okay. Football. You're fake football yeah. Stuff. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. It's NFL. So you got that. That's one of the biggest reasons, and I mean that's where it goes. So that'll hurt. That always hurts. They're going to probably lose. I don't remember exactly how much they lose, but they're going to lose a lot. They always do. So
do they lose viewers on Fridays on Fox?
Not as many, right? There is college football on some channels, like ESPN and ESPN2 will have occasional college football game, but then you have NBA coming back soon. You also have baseball playoffs will play in effect, and that's the other thing. Whenever the baseball playoffs start, that moves SmackDown to Fridays or to FSN FS1.
FS1. Okay.
Yeah, so that hurts too. So there's a couple of things where I can see where they just want to try to do what they can to put.
Do they have bad numbers? Do they have bad numbers on FS1? I've never.
They haven't been the best. Yeah, they haven't been the best when they move, and that's understandable because you're going from broadcast TV to cable. And I mean, there's plenty of people that only get to watch SmackDown because they don't have cable. So
because it's on Fox. Yeah.
But
and their Fox deal is up in a year, right?
Yeah, so it shouldn't be too long before they announce if they're sticking around with Fox or if they're going to a different network. There's been a lot of rumors on where they could go. So I think there's, and I could get into it a little bit more, there's a few reasons why they could save a lot of money, or Fox is going to save a lot of money because of college football. This is very exciting for you now, I know. But Fox spent a lot of money to get Pac-12 football. And basically the Pac-12 is, for the most part, going to be gone pretty soon. And that's going to free up a lot of money.
You're saying that as if I have to know what that is.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, I'm just saying that that's going to free up a lot of money, I believe.
I meant Pac football or whatever.
Oh, yeah, it's just college football. College
football. Oh, like, so you could have just called
But
you decided to be a fancy pants know-it-all and call it that.
For
that
once in my life. Confuse
the European chick.
Yeah, you know how it goes. Just once in my life, I like to confuse somebody. But yeah, that could save a lot of money for Fox. So that might actually get them back involved with WWE. So like maybe putting money in. We'll have to see, but I'm very curious to see, and I also want to see where this leads for Jey Uso. They have another.
I'm really excited. I'm a bit frustrated about this, if I have to be honest, because look, do you know what that feels like? It feels like WWE saying, "Oh, look, guys, we have the best tag team in the world. Let's fucking split them."
Yeah.
And they're not only split up, like, you know, arguing with each other or whatever. They're on different brands. Like, they're on different nights, like 4 days apart from each other. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how serious that is. I know that at some point they will get back together. I know that. But, like, how can you... Their tag team division is not that serious. And I'm pissed off about that because they have so many great teams there. And they just split their best one. Like, if you're a tag team in WWE, what does that mean to you? And actually, we're about to see a DIY reunion. I'm almost certain for that. Right?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much a given now.
It's inevitable. It's inevitable. But, like, if you're DIY, and, like, after the Usos, DIY are probably out there with one of the best. You know, that's with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I'm going to put in Diamond Mine in there also, like the Creeds. I keep calling Diamond Mine, but that doesn't exist anymore. The Creed brothers from NXT. You would argue that they're one of, you know, now that the Usos aren't there, you know, they're not a thing anymore. They're probably the best brother, you know, tag team ever in WWE. So it kind of makes you wonder, because this doesn't sound really encouraging, because they've never had... Like, they've never even had a spat together before that. I understand why in storyline, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But splitting your best tag team in your company for storyline's sake, I hope it pays off. Because we're about to talk briefly about that, but, like, Payback was an amazing pay-per-view. It was quite overshadowed by, you know, other stuff in wrestling news. But Payback was an amazing pay-per-view, and it didn't even have anything Bloodline related on it.
Yeah.
And no, exactly. And that's telling. It was, you know, we had focus on other, you know, storylines and the wrestlers. It was so great. Like, both companies had weird pay-per-views that were lacking of something, but everyone on both pay-per-views was wrestling to prove a point, and that is something that we discussed a lot about All In, but like, we're gonna talk about that later with SP3. So if you want, we can move on. But like, I will let things play out. But splitting up the Usos, I hated that.
Yeah,
I really did.
Yeah, so as we move on, Maggie, I know your anger. I know your dreams. I've been everything you want to be. I'm the cult of personality.
And just shut up.
Do you want CM Punk back in the WWE?
Okay, you cannot possibly drop a bombshell like that and expect me not to, you know, to rant a bit. Okay, so...
It's not a bombshell. It's in the script.
Yeah, I know. I hate this, Rob. I hate this so much. And the fact is that I absolutely adore CM Punk, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I do. I adore him. But now he doesn't have to be tired of working with children because he's unemployed. I'm sorry. You know, as this was happening, I was sleeping, and then I wake up and see everything, like, you send me, you know, the release from AEW, you know, you send me the tweet.
Yeah.
And I was like, what did I wake up to? Like,
wake your ass up.
Like, I couldn't, and then I, Jesus. I started reading, and you know, and because I was like, this is one of those instances where I'm intrigued to see what Twitter has to say, or X, or whatever. Everyone, of course, was being weird about it on both ends. On both ends, like, yeah, not only
it,
one.
It hasn't stopped either, so.
Yeah, anyway. and it also hasn't stopped. So, a lot of things to, you know, to think about here. We were made aware that a meeting had to occur between both sides, and the meeting didn't occur because the Elite didn't want to. If you're Tony Khan, do you make that meeting mandatory?
Well, it's come out today that,
like, I saw today that they were sent, what do you call it? Like, I don't know the legal terms of it.
Are you talking like a cease and desist, or?
I don't know what they called it, but
the letter that Punk sent.
Yeah. Is this true? Like, is this because, like, I don't know if it really happened, but like, there was some news came out today that Punk sent a letter to Matt Jackson, the Bucks.
The Bucks. It was a legal letter sent over from it was a non-disclosure agreement, I guess, from what they said. That's
discussing publicly about something that wasn't even about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't even about Punk. He thought it was. Is this why they didn't have the meeting?
Well, there's also, they also said it was the Christopher Daniels thing that got, that got him mad. Supposedly it's also the Jack Perry thing that got him mad, like, that same week. So both of those got him. Yeah, supposedly that's what did it.
That's not my question, Rob. I asked you a different question. If you're Tony Khan, do you make that meeting mandatory?
Yeah, for in my opinion, yes. And the reason why, but there's now I'm just what I will say is there needs to be more than just CM Punk in that room with the with everybody. There needs to be the attorneys, there needs to be multiple people, because your executive vice presidents are in that room. They're supposed to do what's best for the company, in my opinion. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
CM Punk has proven that he brings in the money.
Of course.
That's just, that's my, that from a business perspective, that's how I would do it. That's the way I look at it. However, that being said, if Tony Khan wanted a reason to get him out, then there you go. That was his reason for not making it mandatory. Like if, you know, like maybe he just had a feeling like let's, I don't know.
Yeah, but like it was the Elite who didn't want to make that meeting happen. CM Punk wanted
correct.
To.
Correct.
Yeah. So yeah. Like the thing is, I say this as a regular person. If I don't want to meet with someone, I'm not like I don't have to. But they are EVPs. Like that's that's, you know, the enormously little thing here that is really, really important for the whole situation. They refused to have a meeting. And again, I adore the Elite. Like they're the ones who make me watch AEW. Like AEW is best when the Elite are there. Not Punk. Like I'm in love with CM Punk, but like in a different way. It's all Elite wrestling, not all Punk. So it's him being let go, it kind of hurts, I'm not gonna lie, but the thing that hurt more was that scrum a year ago. That's what hurt me more.
Yeah,
not like this. It's, I'll say it like this, it didn't look like Punk was having any amount of fun while he was there. Any. Like, for a whole year and even more, he kept saying that he hated it there. Mm-hmm. And because I love that man, and I just want him to have peace, okay? I don't know what he's dealing with. None of us will ever know what truly happened. Like, none of us. Like, everyone can run their mouth and everyone can support whomever. We're all allowed to do that. But none of us will have any amount of clue even about what actually happened for, you know, this entire year if they don't sit in a room together with a live broadcast team and actually talk about it in front of the entire world. Otherwise, we will never know that. We know that it's going to happen. CM Punk is going to say a lot of things on his Instagram stories. You know that's going to happen. But, and eventually he will talk to someone.
Yeah.
And we all know that the Elite will not keep, they won't be silenced. Like, Matt Jackson is a hothead. Like, so, his brother is not so far behind. Yeah. Like Hangman, and Kenny Omega, like they've kept you know to themselves a lot.
Yeah,
Jack Perry can, you know, talk because like he's really young. He's fairly young, and everyone's talking about him right now. I'm not going to lie that I don't like the fact that they're talking about him because of this. I would like for everyone to be talking about him because of his in-ring ability. Not, yeah. You know, this, not this. I will say one thing. Jack Perry, you know, decided to get some heat. And that's fine. CM Punk made a whole career on that.
Correct.
He made it his entire persona to do that. And now that someone is doing it to him, and he's not okay with that, and he doesn't like that, like that, it doesn't display you in a very good light. Just saying.
So, and I see in the chat, I saw it just a second ago. Somebody said that there was a report that the Young Bucks would have sat down with him if he could have stayed out of trouble for 6 months. Which is, if that's what they wanted to do, that's fine. But in the long run, I still
thought... What does staying out of trouble mean?
Where he doesn't cause, like, all kinds of hell for people.
So when they were supposed to have the meeting, they said, we will have the meeting in 6 months. Did they say... Is that what they said? Or did they say this prior?
Well, that's what was in the Wrestling Observer article, so that part I don't like. No, I'm just saying that's what the 6 months thing. What I was going to say is basically going back to the Tony Khan thing. That's where it comes like down to him. Like, if he would have said, "No, I don't like you guys can wait 6 months if that's what you think you want, but no, I want you guys to meet now." That 6 months thing is kind of baffling to me because it could be like something little and they said, nope, that doesn't qualify. Like, they could have just kept pushing it back before, like, little things. There's a lot of like, I don't know about that. You know, like there's a lot of questions I have regarding that 6 months thing. It just.
Again, we will never know.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I see somebody in chat says, and so, you know, Keyshawn, he says, why would they have to wait 6 months? Hash it out and handle on head on. Exactly. There's a lot of money to be made. A lot of money. But now, like, since we were mainly talking about WWE there, that was my main point. If he goes to WWE, there's a lot of people back there in WWE who do not want him there. If. And this was a question.
He has to leave.
Yeah. But what I want to know here is, and I think they talked about it on the list in your boy, that if you're considering bringing him in, you absolutely 100% have to talk to your wrestlers before doing it. You can't just bring him in.
Absolutely. And
say, surprise, Punk's here. You can't do that.
Especially having in mind that the WWE locker room has been really, really amazing lately.
Yeah.
Like, there's been a lot of peace and quiet and they're like happy to be there. You don't do that. It's like the calm before the storm. Like, you don't do that. You don't do that to your locker room. They absolutely do, because like a lot of people said a lot of stuff about Punk in interviews. Seth Rollins comes to mind.
Yep.
Yes, he said that CM Punk was a cancer and he told him go away, like never come back. So you need to talk to your locker room, absolutely. Yeah. Because and if you do have an opportunity to bring CM Punk back, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. So and I see another comment that says, like, if somebody has assaulted you, you absolutely have the right not to talk to. You absolutely have that right. But my comeback to that is, if you're saying you're waiting, I guess it's the same thing. I was going to say, if you're waiting 6 months, why wait? But it makes sense now, you know? I get what he's saying. If that's what they wanted, that's fine. But I also want to know, and like you said, we won't ever know. But I do want to, this is me wanting to know, did Tony Khan ask the Young Bucks to meet with CM Punk? Did he ask them? That's the biggest question for me. But going back to the WWE talk, I know there's a lot of people that do not want him there. Now, my other side of that is can some of those people work with him depending on how much money they make off of it? Because that could be a payday, a big payday.
This is a part of the conversation that we've had previously, in which I said that I didn't understand why Tony Khan really wants to cultivate a locker room that resembles a family, because that's not how you do it, like how WWE does it. That's a business, and you have to be professional and, you know, not be childish about stuff, and, you know, be an actual grown-up. I know the way that things were handled in the past, you know, the brawls, WCW, WWF, and whatever. Like, I know, for me, that those aren't grown-ass people. Mm-hmm. And if you have a problem with somebody, like, there's a way to, you know, to work with those problems.
Yeah.
For instance, Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa made money with each other. Like, they faced off. They do not like each other. I love both women. But, like, it's, they see the potential that they have and they utilize it professionally. If this was handled better in AEW, I would have loved that. But if you cultivate, you know, a locker room and say, oh, we're a family, well, guess what? Families fight. Brothers fight, sisters fight, you know, uncles fight and whatever. I don't care. If you say that you have to be professionals, then, you know, and actually, first of all, encourage them. And second of all, make them be professional with each other and not, like, baby them.
Because, you know, like, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, say it.
No, I'm just saying sometimes you have to
sacrifice, 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 sacrifice.
I can't believe you cut me off for that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You're not. You're really not. You're not. Yeah, so when you asshole.
Okay, that'll give you.
So what I'm saying is that when you treat your locker room like a family, that's what happens after that. If you, like, you have to be professionals with each other. That's not how you do it. And there's a lot of veterans over at WWE. I cannot believe that the veterans in AEW did not sit down and talk to CM Punk about that, or with the Elite, like with both sides, because it almost sounds as if, you know, I'm defending one side. I'm really not. I can see wrongs on both sides and rights on both sides. I truly believe that CM Punk does not want to take crap from anyone, having in mind what he's endured in his entire career. I get that. The Bucks, they don't want to take crap from anyone. I can get that, because, like, if it weren't for the Bucks, AEW wouldn't exist. Like, why wouldn't they be cocky? Like, why wouldn't they? Right. So, again, we can never know if they, you know, actually sat down. You know, the veterans with both sides, again, we will never know, but I would like to think that they did. But
yeah. So here's my, okay, so we'll wrap up the Cody, the CM Punk talk here in just a second. If CM Punk, hypothetically, let's say CM Punk does go back, who do you want him to work with? Like his first program?
Okay. If he does come back, you know that his first program would be with The Miz. You know that.
Jesus.
You absolutely know that. The Miz is the one. The second one should be Kevin Owens.
It's got to be Kevin Owens.
Especially because that way CM Punk can actually maybe kind of build some legitimate friction between Kevin Owens and the Bucks, because they're really close friends with each other. And see, your best friend, you know, wants to work with me and you don't. I don't think that the Bucks will care it anyway, but, like, it has to be Kevin Owens and then Seth and then Cody.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, but I think it's got to be, I think hilarious. I think it's hilarious that you said Miz first, but
it is gonna be the Miz. The Miz is always like the Miz puts over talent, okay?
Yeah, he does, but I just
every time it's either the Miz or Dolph Ziggler because of Nick Nemeth. It's like either one
just,
of them.
I'm just saying it has to like I don't yeah, no. So WWE had their superstar spectacle. Thank you.
I'm Bulgarian, Rob.
I know, and I'm trying to be. I got nothing. Anyways, they were in Hyderabad, Telangana, India, for the basically it was a glorified house show, but they had John Cena there and some big matches. Because of Becky Lynch not making it on this trip, Natalya did double duty today, so she worked twice. But starting over this match, they had Drew McIntyre, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens defeated Jinder Mahal, Veer, and Sangha.
Jinder Mahal lost?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sangha.
How do they take it?
Sangha. He got pinned by Drew after the Claymore. So after the match, though, your guy Riddle came out and had a dance off with Jinder Mahal.
No.
Yeah. So that sounds great.
No.
Yep.
You know that there were a lot of CM Punk chants during the women's match?
Ugh. oh, well. Yeah.
We're so about to have that.
We are going to get those
Punk chants back in WWE. Like, I was so glad when he debuted in AEW. I'm like, there you go. No more CM Punk chants. No more CM Punk chants. There you go. Fucking get in there. And they're like, they're going to come back. They're going to come back and I'm going to hate it. I'm going to fucking hate it because they're going to be like this. All like in the middle of women's matches. Like, it's not enough that it's a 3-minute match. And they're gonna stuff it with CM Punk chants? Fucking go away.
Yeah. Anyways, Natalya over Zoe Stark. It was gonna be Becky Lynch, but she couldn't make it because of passport issue, I believe she said. Either that or visa issue. I think it was passport. Anyways, so she won by pinfall. You had Gunther over Shanky.
Yes.
So that doesn't surprise me. Bron Breakker over Odyssey Jones. You had Rhea Ripley over Natalya. And then Seth Rollins and John Cena over Imperium's Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci.
Didn't see that coming.
Did not see that at all happening. and the big news, well, not really the big news, but it was trending earlier. The Great Khali made an appearance. And said he had one more match in him. And I tweeted that I prefer he not have a match and I prefer him to sing Happy Birthday to John Cena again. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to send you the link. You have to watch him sing Happy. Try to sing Happy Birthday to John Cena. Oh, my God. It's not good. No. You think you get aggravated by the sacrifice.
No.
Yeah. I won't do that to you, but I know somebody in chat has seen that and it's not good. But it's not. I mean, ugh. But
I know.
We'll get CP3 here in a
SP3.
I know CP3, Chris Paul is what I just said. SP3 here in a few minutes, but we'll go ahead and talk about Payback since he's not here yet. Maggie, what'd you think of Payback?
It was an awesome, awesome show. Overshadowed by CM Punk. But you know what made me angry? No one was talking about Rhea Ripley spearing Kevin Owens from the barricade because they were talking about CM Punk. This made me angry. Rhea Ripley is the coolest thing in wrestling right now. I adore that woman so much. What did you think?
Oh, I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed the pay-per-view. The same goes with wrestling when they don't really build a pay-per-view that well. They put on a hell of a show. They did really good with Becky. That was the thing. We did not like the Becky Lynch, Trish Stratus, like, setup. like the
built,
I
mean, it, the, it, yeah, it was it, awful.
But
it
they
was illogical in all aspects.
They destroyed it. They were just awesome. They were
Match
great.
Match of the year candidate.
Oh, for you? Cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they killed it. It was great. I loved every minute of it. They were awesome. Trish Stratus is great. She's been great. I love seeing her still wrestle. Becky Lynch brought it, which is no, that shouldn't surprise a damn soul, but that was a great match. The
I was anxious because of their match at Saudi, because that wasn't a good match.
No.
Night of Champions, which was weird because when you're in the ring with a ring general such as Becky Lynch, you're Trish Stratus and you're a veteran, but you haven't been competing in years. You would think that, you know, there's going to be a lot of learning from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, they have a lot to offer to the other person. I know that they loved wrestling with each other, and I knew that they themselves knew that there was something off in that match, and they wanted to make it right.
Yeah.
So, boy, did they made it right in this match. It was so great. It had so many, you know, throwbacks to old matches.
Yep.
I love that because it always brings a tear to my eye. Women's wrestling, absolutely killing it. Absolutely killing it.
Okay. We do have a super chat. You're gonna have to help.
This is from Alex. I told the granny story already, Alex. Just okay. FYI.
Love the show, Rob. Please shave. Leave only a mustache. Absolutely not.
Oh, come on.
I am not doing the mustache. No, just a mustache. No, not at all.
Come on. He has a point. Please do that.
I'll do it for an episode. How about that?
Okay.
I'll do it for one episode. Also, plus one for Blonde Maggie. Thanks for the grandma story. I think CM Punk has a little bit too big of an ego to let him do whatever he wants.
Come on. You've been back to wrestling for, what, a month, and you have an opinion now? Come on.
Wow. Okay. Man. Thank you, Alex, for the super chat. Appreciate it. It might be the last one now because of Maggie.
No, come on. Like, you know me. Like,
I know. I'm kidding, but... Yeah, but now here's one last question. I want to go back to the Punk thing that I forgot to ask you.
Sure. I mean, just one
question. I forgot to ask it. One question. Does he come back for the Hall of Fame if he gets inducted?
I always believe that CM Punk should be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. I always believe that. It didn't matter if he was still wrestling in AEW. Well, they never would have if he was still in AEW. Like, they're that petty. I do believe one day, if he doesn't come back into, you know, to wrestling in WWE, sure, like, it doesn't mean that he's not going to get inducted into the Hall of Fame. I'll tell you what, though, that there's still a possibility that he comes back to AEW. In years, maybe. But he can come.
Yeah.
Like, not tomorrow or, you know, a month from now or a year from now. Like, it can be some time. But there is a possibility. Like, nothing's impossible.
All right. Well, we were talking WWE, but our guest is here now. So we are going to bring him on. And his name is SP3. SP3, how are you, buddy? I just need to let everybody know. It's not CP3, like I said just a second ago. It's not Chris Paul. It's SP3. So I said CP3 will be with us in a few minutes. I'm like, that's not right. But hey.
I don't choke like CP3.
Yeah,
so, you know, that's fine.
There you go.
Just
how you doing?
Just FYI, sweetie. I was working Tuesday night, you know, the night shift, and our DJ played California. And I'm like, yeah, like I really wanted to, you know, to make a video of everyone singing, you know, and I randomly shouting Marissa's a cunt. And like
yes.
I'm sure I'm depressed, Rob. I can tell. I can say whatever.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. And all of a sudden, I just started, because like no one was getting what I'm saying, and I was like, Mississippi.
All right, we got another super chat from Alex. He says, "I remember him versus Cena. Those matches were better."
Those matches were better because CM Punk wasn't in his 40s, sweetie.
So SP3, how was Chicago?
Chicago was a lot of fun. It was a good time. We got to work media at StarCast and got to connect and meet a bunch of people that I usually do this stuff with on the computer screen. So to actually meet them in person, it is part weird and also kind of cool at the same time, like meeting someone like Joel Holbert, who I've done plenty of stuff with, got to actually meet him in person for the first time, Righteous Reg, Phil Lindsay, got to meet them for the first time in person. So that was a lot of fun. So yeah, honestly, that's kind of like the best part of going on these wrestling trips. It's not even like the show or all the content you get, is actually meeting all the people that you know, connect with and can call a friend, but it's really a friend through a computer screen or through social media.
I can say this now.
Yeah, so that was, and we saw like the video that you posted of Bryan Danielson. So Final Countdown, that was really cool, because I know I've heard you say that before. That was like one thing that you've always wanted. Did you think you were going to get that night?
No, I did not. No, I did not, because it just came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting it. It was like an outer body experience, because like I really, my love of professional wrestling kind of was re-tapped into at the age of like 18 years old, because I kind of discovered Ring of Honor my last couple of years of high school, and I went to my first Ring of Honor event was Final Battle 2006, and I was really into the whole Homicide chasing the Ring of Honor World Championship, and his opponent that night was Bryan Danielson, and Homicide is a New York guy, Brooklyn, so we were all cheering for Homicide that night. But I found myself walking out of that building being the biggest Bryan Danielson fan. It was just like, God created this guy to do professional wrestling. It's like all the great things about the teachers and the trainers that he learned from, like the William Regal with the technical wrestling ability, or Shawn Michaels with the selling and the body language, the facial expressions, everything. He just clicks on all those levels, and I just became a fan of him. And I heard his music for the first time that night of Final Countdown. I was like, that's the coolest song for a theme song. It's not supposed to be a wrestling theme song, but it's the coolest thing ever. And then for the next 3 years, I was at Hammerstein Ballroom for every single Ring of Honor event. And we sang that song up until about 2009, because Ring of Honor went to HDNet and they couldn't play a Final Countdown anymore. So he came out to some generic bad music that I did not like. But then finally, in September 2009, he had his final show against Nigel McGuinness, and he told the DJ, play that music. And I thought it was the final time I would ever sing that at a wrestling event. So to be there in the United Center, hear that music, and it's because the last time when I heard it at Forbidden Door, it was kind of subdued, because I had 2 3-year-olds next to me asleep, so I couldn't audibly sing and really get into the moment. So I was completely, no 3-year-olds, no wife and kids. I was on the floor sitting by myself, And it just was like an outer body experience singing Final Countdown again. That was just a great moment. So I had to kind of document it and sing it the second time when he won the match after that five-star classic against Ricky Starks. Had to sing it again, and I had to record myself. And of course, you know, people don't like seeing people have fun. So I got some feedback, but that's okay. That's what wrestling is all about. It's all about the people wrestling that get upset at you for having fun.
This is the brand new information. People being upset about you having fun.
Kind of weird. Kind of weird, so but weird. I kind of expect it now.
Did you make it to, were you at Collision the night before?
Yes. I got to Collision late, but I kind of got the gist of everything that went down beforehand with just the energy in Chicago was different after Punk it was announced that he fired. And my friend, I said that I stay with in Chicago, Stat King from True LE. I literally, when I found out the news, my jaw dropped, and it was the best kind of unarticulate, no words communication I've ever done with a person, where I looked at him and he was like, they didn't fire him, did he? yes they did. They did. CM Punk has been fired by AEW.
Yeah, that was my question. How was the atmosphere? Because it seemed like watching on TV, it got better. Just what, like, compared from Saturday night to, and granted, I know it's a pay-per-view, so you're going to have a different atmosphere, but watching Collision and how it went from, it just got better, like, during the pay-per-view. And basically, from what Miro and Powerhouse Hobbs is what made it, like, just got it going. And for me, like, that's why I'm like, okay, this is the Chicago crowd that I know of. So what was that was going to be my other question for you, the reaction, like, for that, and how the
sweetie, I love you for being a part of that crowd, because my heart and soul was in that crowd.
But it's crazy. It's crazy because I saw the clip of all the chants that went through, and there was even more meat chants. It was more meat chants that it was even went through that translated through TV, and being on the floor for that. That was one of the greatest live experiences I've ever been a part of.
Jealous.
It was just me and a couple of other people on the floor that when the bell rang, we were like, me. And then everybody just started getting into it. And then there was some people who were trying to fight against it. And we were like, nope, we're fully
trying to fight against it.
Yeah. They're trying to fight against it, but they had to get into the chance. Fight, slap that meat, touch that meat. No, we were going crazy. This is meat.
Holy meat. Holy meat.
Meat is awesome. Meat is awesome. I started a little one that didn't go through, though. I said, you're going to get your effing meat kicked in. So, yeah, it was insane to be a part of. And I've never been a part of a crowd that really kind of elevated a match, because both guys had a great match, but I feel like the crowd made that match even better.
Yeah,
the crowd, this is absolutely insane, because that match was always gonna be great, okay? But that crowd made it a star more. That crowd, this is so weird to me, because I am so over Chicago crowds. I seriously am, because they've been in Chicago five times a month. I know they haven't, but it seems so. And this is annoying to me, because go west, go. I know that they're about to go to Seattle, but Seattle crowds, Pacific North, you know, or whatever you guys want to call it, that's my jam, guys. I will cry when that event hits, because I want to be there, because it's Seattle and it's, you know, Twin Peaks territory, but it's just so, it's going to be so great. And Chicago being the crowd that made me smile and laugh out loud watching wrestling, I'm going to take that. I'm going to give you one Chicago crowd, okay? like you're on thin ice.
Yeah, well, you get him back for Survivor Series, so get ready.
Oh, yay.
And yay. Bound for Glory.
Yeah, Bound for Glory and the Collision. They're not going to. I don't think they're going to be there for Collision, but they will be there for Dynamite.
Thanksgiving Dynamite. Yeah. Thanksgiving.
So. You will never persuade me that Impact and AEW aren't working with each other anymore because, like, Impacters are so often in Chicago. It just makes me feel like they're in cahoots with each other.
Cahoots.
That's a word you will never hear me say again.
Yeah. Anyways.
Okay. So that women's match, because. This was one of the matches which I talked to Rob that they were wrestling to prove a point. You know, the women's match. Chris Statlander and Ruby Soho. What an absolutely amazing match watching, you know, a recording of. How did that feel in the crowd?
I thought it was a really good matchup, and it seemed like the crowd was into it as well. They had the coming down period, of course, because of that, how amped up they were for the meat match, the meat-o-mania, as I call it, between Hobbs and Miro, and then, you know, CJ Perry coming out and debuting afterwards. So they had the come down period for like the first 5-6 minutes. And then I thought like the middle of the matchup, it really got going. And it was honestly, I thought it was one of the better TBS championship matchups that I've seen. Like between that and the Emi Sakura match on Dynamite, I think that Chris Statlander has been doing a great job with it. And this is once again, another reason why I have to say this after reading Wrestling Observer today. My star ratings are better than Uncle Dave's. He gave them one less star than they deserve. He gave them 2.5 stars. What are you watching, Dave? Were you obsessed with the meat? You got distracted by the meat and you couldn't pay attention to the women's match afterwards? This is the second week in a row. Last week it was Samoa Joe and CM Punk. He gave that 3.5 stars. That's a 4-star matchup. Well, know your star ratings. You came up with the whole system. You don't even know the whole system. You're like Homer Simpson trying to work the freaking play.
Well, I think CM Punk. I mean, his ratings just don't do anything for me like they used to. Like it is what it is. But I'm convinced that he took he took points out because of CM Punk is the way I look at it.
I'm sure it was that. But like, have it in mind that most recently when Jade was TBS champion, we didn't get to see a lot of you know, big matches for that TBS title because they were all squashes.
Yeah.
And now this was the most exciting thing part about Chris Statlander being champion, that now we get to see amazing matches. I'm not saying that Jay wasn't able to, you know, put people over or be able to put on a great performance. But it's, you can kind of, you know, agree that it's kind of different. Jay will always be, you know, she will always put asses in seats because I adore that woman. And I hope that the moment she comes back, like you can tell every time, every match, she was better and better. And you can see that she's training with Bryan Danielson. You could tell that she was. And I can't wait for her to come back. And I can't wait for her to see what she does next.
She's going to say, I came back because Rob missed me. And then.
Yeah. And Alexis Cardoza as well, because like he wants Jade to step on him.
Well, that's a whole different show. But
yeah.
I'm not going to say that.
Yeah. Let's talk about that strap match, okay? Talking about stuff that, you know, arouses people. Let's talk about that strap match. Jesus. Oh. Like, they didn't hold back. Like, Bryan Danielson did hold back his right arm because he did say in that press scrum that he did nothing with his right arm. Which, I went back and watched the match again and I'm like, holy fucking shit. He did nothing with the arm. Like, nothing. I didn't even see that. And by the way, because I'm not a big press scrum person, like, I do not watch the press scrum. Only if there's something huge on Twitter about it, like, I'll go back and watch it. You know, like, cupcakes or whatever. But I do go out of my way and watch Bryan Danielson on the press scrum because you can always learn something new every time Bryan Danielson is on the microphone. This, like, I'm every day I grow more in love with Bryan Danielson because that guy has it all. And if Bryan Danielson is not, in your eyes, the best professional wrestler on the planet right now, you are wrong. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's absolutely pretty simple. He adores tree semen, so
that says it all.
Like, it's what are you doing here? I can see him taking over for Collision. I can see that happening because if he is back. And he did say a lot in that press scrum that he was, you know, that he wanted to be there for his family. He wanted to be there for his children and whatever. He can do that on Wednesday nights, right? Because school and whatever. Like, he can do that at Saturday. Well, like, when you're not.
I know it's been reported that he's going to be on Collision, but I didn't know that there was kind of some question if he would be kind of the guy for Collision because he does want to spend time with his family, and the weekend seems better for that if he worked on Wednesdays and then he's home the rest of the weekend. So I kind of understand that. That's a good point. And I understand now, though, with the whole CM Punk being removed, there is no necessity to have a split roster. You can have your guys that are prominently featured on Collision, like Bullet Club Gold, Ricky Starks, guys like that. But you can also kind of also have them on Dynamite. If you need them on Dynamite, you can have them on Dynamite. You can have the Elite and the Blackpool Combat Club on Collision now. There is no issue. There is no, this person is not allowed here. There is no talent relations, people that are to being told that they can't be backstage. Like,
that's sad.
You can kind of make everything one, and you kind of already seen with All Out into Dynamite this week, the storytelling seems to be a lot more cohesive. Like how Hangman Adam Page eliminates Toa Leona and Brian Cage of Mogul Embassy to win the over-the-budget battle royal, and then he's immediately confronted by the leader of Mogul Embassy, Swerve Strickland, and it plays into his character, plays into Hangman's character. We're going back to focus on Hangman's character, which is something that I've been asking for from AEW for the past 6 months, it seems. So it seems like the storytelling can be more cohesive with one full roster on both shows.
Who called the cops?
It's wherever SP3 is, because he's in New York, so I can't. So
yeah, what I was saying was SP3 mentioned something. Because CM Punk is not there, you don't need to have split rosters anymore, and that, tell me that doesn't seem extremely wrong and sad, because we're talking about a 40-year-old man. Like, because of that man, you had to have split rosters. Okay, him and, you know, the Elite. And because one of them is not there anymore.
I'm sorry. I've been on this agenda for the past year and been paid very well by Tyson Smith. Kenny Omega did nothing wrong. Don't say the Elite. It's not the Elite's problem. Kenny Omega had a conversation with Phil Brooks right after he punched his friend in the face. Kenny Omega went in there after the fight already started and saved the dog. Kenny Omega.
Yeah, saved the dog. Yes, Kenny Omega did nothing wrong. Kenny Omega is an absolutely adorable, like, I want to hug the guy forever. Like, it's probably, you know, about, you know, Hangman saying some stuff, going into business for himself, allegedly, and trying to sell a pay-per-view. And then the Young Bucks. Like, it's, How can you have a problem with Christopher Daniels? Someone explain this to me. How can you say, hey, Christopher Daniels, he's talent relations, right? Yeah, you're talent relations. You're not allowed to be here. And he's like, fucking what? Excuse me?
Yeah. That's not. No, exactly.
That's not the way to do it.
The reaction I wanted to know was on TV, the reaction for Jon Moxley and Orange Cassidy, great match, fantastic match, but were a lot of people pulling for Cassidy in that match, did you think, like, compared to Moxley, or what do you, because it didn't seem, I mean, people were into the match, don't get me wrong, it was just kind of one of those things where it just felt like flat right afterwards, but I just want to know reaction wise, how was it there inside the United Center?
Wouldn't say flat, I would say disappointed. That finish and the Takeshita beating Omega, even though that was probably the right decision to put over a new star, that was really, I felt like they could have went like 2-3 minutes after that second knee and Kenny Omega kicked out, they had got the crowd. Because once he hits that third knee and then it's over, it kind of felt flat right there. And then the same thing with Orange Cassidy getting dropped with the second Death Rider to lose there. It just wasn't the result that they wanted, but the crowd was definitely into it. Yeah. But it was a lot more split. Like, if I had to compare those two matches, I would say that the crowd was a lot more split, like 60-40 for Orange Cassidy against Jon Moxley, whereas Omega and Takeshita, it was like 90-10, maybe 95.5% wanting Takeshita to win.
Well, other than like that, did you see, somebody asking in the chat, did you see the Michael Jordan statue?
Well, I've been to Chicago about eight times in the last 5 years. I did that probably, I think, the first All In. I went to the first All In 2018 was, I think, my first time in Chicago. So I think that was the first time that I seen, like, the Bean. I seen the Michael Jordan statue. Best story I have from Chicago is when I showed up to StarCast. I showed up early. And some guy came up to me, he saw me with like the media pass, I guess, and he was like, "Hey, I know you. What's your I don't know your name. But you're the guy, the black guy that won Quizzlemania." And I was like, "Yes, sir, I'm the first black guy that won Quizzlemania. I'm the Jackie Robinson of Quizzlemania." And then I took a picture with him. He doesn't even know my name, so I'll never see that picture again. But that became my whole story. For the rest of the weekend. And then one of the guys that runs StarCast said that I need to go to Will Washington's show when he had AEW Unrestricted, because Will Washington is the second black man to win Quizzlemania. And I need to tell him that I crawled so he can walk. And that man is walking. He is walking the All Elite path.
Yeah, he did it, man. He did it. So I want to say thank you for joining us. We really appreciate you stopping by. Tell everybody where they can find you. I know tomorrow you have a show.
Yes, they do. The True Hill Heat YouTube channel. Check it out. Our flagship podcast tomorrow, 11:05 a.m. Eastern time. You could join us for that. It'll be myself, Miss Chrissy Love, and special guest, a guy who is always on this channel, Fightful Overbook, Mr. Fightful Overbook, Jerry Lee Lambert will be joining us. So it's like FMC meets THH all in one.
Wow, I'm surprised you could book him. He's pretty hard to book outside.
He's a pretty busy man.
He's always so busy.
It's like getting, I was going to say it's like getting Moxley, but it's like Moxley will take any booking. I was going to say like, I really got nothing right now, but that's pretty good booking by you. I'm surprised. Well played.
Try my best.
Thank you so much for joining us. And are you going to try to make it to Wrestle Dream?
Let's make Orange County magic together soon, sweetie.
Yes, we got to rank the seasons.
We got to rank the seasons.
Absolutely. Am I thinking about Wrestle Dream? Maybe, but that's a tough bet because my friend's getting married at the end of October. So maybe full gear in LA since I didn't go to LA for WrestleMania.
People need to enjoy Seattle for me because I can't.
Is there other stuff to do in Seattle besides Wrestle Dream?
Cry and take drugs.
Gonna say the dispensary.
Yeah. All right, man. Thank you so much.
Later, guys.
Thank you. He's great.
I adore SP3. Jesus.
So we'll go back to WWE talk. Oh, we got to do our. We'll do that quick. Because we got to do our Impact predictions too. So going back to Yeah, we were only on our first match. So we'll go through these real quick. LA Knight defeated The Miz with John Cena as a special guest referee. Nothing really stood out.
Nothing stood out, but like it was a good LA Knight match because up until now we haven't gotten, you know, LA Knight matches, they haven't gotten, you know, okay for him.
Yeah.
You know, if you ask his critics, they will say, tell me a good LA Knight match. Well, this was a good LA Knight match because Miz took care of him.
Yeah. Yeah. Then we had Rey Mysterio over Austin Theory. Normal Rey Mysterio. Yeah. Nothing really stood out in that match. Steel City Street Fight. Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn lost their titles to the Judgment Day's Damian Priest and Finn Balor.
This match was the right decision.
Yeah, this match was fun. And they still made Kevin Owens and Sami look good because of all the, I guess, shenanigans that were going on.
The entire match was absolutely great. The right people won. It mm-hmm. makes sense. They're the main storyline right now.
Yeah, you had Rhea Ripley over Raquel Rodriguez. That match, that did nothing for me. It went by really quick, I thought, too.
Because it was a quick match. That's why it didn't do anything for you.
Rhea
won. Like, the only thing that matters right now is for Rhea. Because right now, Rhea Ripley she's the leader of the Judgment Day, isn't she? Because, like, I see her as the leader of Judgment Day. She just needs to kick ass up until the moment where she has a legitimate threat for her. And that, in my opinion, should be Becky Lynch at WrestleMania 40.
In the chat, let us know what your favorite match was of Payback. Then you had the WWE World Heavyweight Championship match, Seth Rollins over Shinsuke.
That was an amazing match. No one was talking about the match. I'm pissed off that once again CM Punk took out from wrestling so much. This entire Payback was a really, really wonderful pay-per-view. And this is something I discussed with Alex Cardoza, because he was like, look, I don't care. And I'm like, dude, go back and watch the pay-per-view without being bummed out about CM Punk. Go back and watch the pay-per-view. And he did. And he enjoyed it way more now that, you know, time had, you know, had passed. That's an amazing pay-per-view. Like WWE always deliver on pay-per-views because they rely on the talent and not their shitty booking.
Yeah. True. I will give you that. We now move on to Impact Wrestling's...
No, I wanted to do the Cooper Effect because, like,
that's... Oh, yeah. Yep.
Second week in a row without us talking about that. Let's do it.
Cooper Effect coming up.
So I don't even breathe throughout the duration of this intro when you just make random sounds. Okay. So, yeah, guys, let me...
I always forget about it, too.
I know. Guys, this is an amazing story of this about this old couple. They got married years and years and years ago without having any money. So, like, he bought her the ring, you know, on a lease. I don't know if that's how you say it. But, like, they needed to get married and, you know, work clothes because they couldn't afford a wedding dress. And they've been so in love with each other for decades and decades. But, like, she had multiple... what do you call it? I think you call them... I forgot the...
I don't know. I don't have the story in front of me.
No, I have the story in front of me. I'm just trying to figure it out where multiple strokes. Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
So she was diagnosed with dementia. And she couldn't remember that she was in love with him, but she couldn't remember that they were married. So the home that they were sitting in, they decided to book a wedding for them both, and they got remarried. and they found her dress. They did a professional makeup for her. They had bands playing and everything. They got married again. And the whole thing about this entire situation is that she fell in love with him all over again, and she wanted to marry him for a second time, only because she didn't remember that she was already married to him in the first place. Those kinds of stories always make me cry, and you know, not now because like I'm in front of a camera, but I will sob after the show. So I did cry when I was reading the article for the first time. Yeah, what was the question?
Did you know where they had the bride and groom's dinner?
No. Yeah, David Busser's, damn it.
I hate you so much for this.
I know. Whoops.
What the fuck, Rob?
Premature.
Let's talk about Impact because we rarely do. Guys, we have.
I can't believe I hit that button. Impact Plus tonight.
Impact Victory Road is tonight, guys. It's going to be an amazing show. Once again, Impact always do the work. But let's talk about, you know, the matches. We have the Knockouts, Impact Knockouts World Championship. Trinity against Alicia Edwards. Trinity is so not losing the championship to Alicia Edwards, even though she was, you know, put through a table. She's not losing that. Trinity will win this one.
Yes, she will win. She will keep that belt.
Keep that belt. Impact X Division Championship. Leo Rush versus Kushida. I do have a dream of Kushida holding a championship in this lifetime.
Yeah. I'm sure he does too.
Yeah, I would assume he does, but I kind of feel like Leo Rush wins here. I will not be mad whatsoever if Kushida won. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It's jacket time.
For sure.
Yeah. Who do you got?
Leo Rush. I think Leo Rush gets it.
Then we have the tag team championships being defended. The Rascals versus Motor City Machine Guns. As much as I love Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, Rascals are losing here. I'm mad that they're champions to begin with because I love subculture. And I'm pretty mad. They did have an Impact reign, so I'm sure that that's all they wanted.
Yeah.
They were never going to stick around for more. It kind of makes me wonder, will they go back to NXT Europe? Do you think that they go back there?
I don't. Not right now. Because I think
what do you mean right now? They signed to Impact?
I think they signed with Impact. I don't see them until they're free agents again. I'm pretty sure they signed with Impact for a little bit. I don't know how long, but.
Okay. I've missed that information just because I'm so professional. Okay. So Rascals it is. The Impact Digital Media Championship. Yeah.
What? Yeah, I have the Rascals too.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought you said that. I'm sorry, sweetie.
All good.
Next up, we have the Digital Media Championship against Tommy Dreamer's career. So it's Kenny King versus Tommy Dreamer.
I think Tommy Dreamer is done.
I think so too. Kenny King losing to Tommy Dreamer will do no favors to Kenny King because I like Kenny King a lot, and him winning that Digital Media Championship is the first good thing that they've done with him on Impact. I feel like. So him losing it that way, I wouldn't be okay. I know people like Tommy Dreamer, but like it's put over young talent, guys. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
If you want to fall in love with Kenny King, watch his match against Mike Bailey. That's the match that, you know, solidified my enjoyment of Kenny King in the ring. So there you go. Kenny King's winning, right?
Yeah, I think so. I do.
Yeah. Next up, we have the PCO versus Bully Ray match. It's an anything goes match. PCO wins, right?
Every time I pick against him,
Bully Ray, and Bully Ray wins. I know. It must be like, no, Bully, like, they've been putting over Bully Ray a lot on Impact, and I don't care for that. So PCO follows me on Twitter, so PCO will win.
There you go.
There you go, my Impact peeps. Yes.
Yeah. So, well, and I mean, here's something else. I mean, maybe this doesn't play an effect on it at all, but the Dudleys signed Legends deal with WWE. It just came out. So, I mean, maybe that plays a part in. I don't know.
Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't.
Yeah.
But that does not change my answer, PCO.
Correct.
Okay. He's not human.
I'm going to go with PCO as well. Actually, I'm changing. I'm going with Bubba. Sorry.
We differ on something. Okay. No, yeah. Don't apologize. We need to differ on something this lifetime. Next up, we have Jordynne Grace versus Gianna Perrazzo. You know this is going to steal the show. Every time those two are in the ring together, they create magic. I will never root against Jordynne Grace, so I will put over Jordynne Grace here. She just re-signed with Impact, so they need to give her a prize for that. Jordynne Grace, my inspiration, my one true love. God, okay. Jordynne Grace.
Yeah, she's going to win. And I'm, you know me, like, I've always praised Gianna Perrazzo. So if Gianna Perrazzo is facing anybody else, I'd pick Gianna Perrazzo. But Jordynne Grace coming back, Jordynne Grace is going to get the win. That's the easiest way to say it.
And this is nothing against Gianna Perrazzo. We adore Gianna Perrazzo so much, but Jordynne Grace is something different for me. Next up, we have Josh Alexander versus Steve Maclin. Boy, oh boy, do I want to see this match again. This is going to be a pretty awesome match.
Yes.
I want to say Josh Alexander, but I can see Steve Maclin winning.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I'm kind of torn here.
I'm going Steve Maclin. I think Steve Maclin will do it because Josh Alexander to me doesn't need the win. It'll help, obviously. It always helps when you get the win. But I think the...
Yeah, but like at the end of that pay-per-view when he came out and faced Alex Shelley and then just said, I'm back, and then just dropped the mic.
That's a good point, too. That's a good point. I forgot about that.
I will never forget about that because it was so cool.
Yeah. Damn it, you made me change my mind because I completely forgot about that. Josh Alexander gets this win.
That's the only reason why I think he's going to win. That's the only reason.
Yep. So.
Yeah. Next up, we have Alan Angel's Open Challenge. Who do you think comes out? CM Punk, right? I mean, come on.
Open Challenge. Who's available right now?
CM Punk.
Tyler Breeze. If he's not booked tonight. He's been wrestling other places lately.
Imagine that. I would love for Tyler Breeze.
So
against Alan Angels? Okay. But I'm singing CM Punk.
All right. Well, one of us is... Well, we're both probably going to be wrong. But I don't know who... Who do you guys think in chat will be? I'm curious. Because there's probably somebody we're forgetting.
It's CM Punk, I'm telling you.
Okay. What else we got?
What else we got? We got Moose and Brian Myers versus Ace Austin, Chris Bay. I wish this were an easy pick, but Moose has been over recently, and this makes me angry because I do not like the guy. I'm sorry. for that. But Ace Austin and Chris Bay, I feel like they should be in line for the next people to challenge for the tag team championships. And if they lose to Moose and Brian Myers, that's not WWE. You don't get to have a championship opportunity after you lose. Like, that's not how you do it. Yeah. So ABC for the win here, hopefully.
Correct. ABC.
Yes. The next thing we have is the Knockouts Tag Team Championships. Masha Slamovich and Killer Kelly versus Savannah Evans and Giselle Shaw. Poor Savannah Evans and Giselle Shaw. They're going to be murdered by Masha and Killer Kelly. I'm telling you, MK Ultra, they need to, you know, they need to... I know, grow old with those championships.
Yeah.
They need to retire in their 60s with those belts, and they just put them in the Hall of Fame and everything.
Yep. Okay, so Ace says that Breeze can't go to a major... That's right. It can't be Breeze because he can't wrestle in a major...
Because
it's up to down.
Are you saying that Impact is a major show? Okay.
Oh, yeah. They're considered major.
I love that because, like, Fed?
To the Federation?
The Fed?
Okay. So it's not him. So I'm curious who it'll be. I don't
CM Punk,
know.
I'm telling you, it's CM Punk.
Jesus.
In a mask.
In a mask. I'm trying to think who's available. Like just Leo, not Leo Rush.
It's me, okay? Okay, it's me.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
It's me. Who else is out there? I didn't want to say it, and it's not Sean either. It's me.
Yeah.
It's AJ Lee, okay? It's AJ Lee.
Who's become free recently? Sunny Kiss became free. Sunny Kiss, maybe? That could be one.
I would love for Sunny Kiss to do that.
Who else?
I haven't seen him on television in a long, long time. And it's AEW's fault for that because...
Yeah.
They're really good in the ring.
Who else could it be? I don't know.
You don't need to wonder.
I like guessing, but I don't have anybody to guess with or who I can guess on. But yeah. All right. Is that the last one?
Crazy Steve and Black Taurus. It's Crazy Steve's new comeback story. And you need to buckle up because it's going to be a ridiculous match. It's going to be one of those matches where, you know, you get wrinkles from it.
Okay.
I got wrinkles from watching the Stadium Stampede match at All In because I was like, you're going to get wrinkles from that and then just not remember it anymore, which is a pity because, like, Crazy Steve has been... He's been over with me with those interviews that he's been doing on Impact. Because he's crazy, get it?
Yeah. Gotcha.
But tune in for the match.
All right, before we end the show, Maggie, I just need to get your reaction to this.
Hi. I've been a very bad girl.
I know. You're DM'd to me, like, after I sent that to you. I was like...
I've been a very, very bad girl.
All right, Maggie. Well, this is weird timing, but plug yourself.
I will plug myself. Just wait. Yeah, you can follow me on X, Twitter, or whatever at Maggie_IK and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. Thank you.
Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on Twitter. And you can also find me on Threads and Instagram at Fightful Rob this Sunday at 11 a.m. You can catch me with My Point Is on the main Fightful channel with Seahawk. We have a good time on there. We talk.
You're wrestling. Such an amazing tag team with Cam. Yeah. I've been catching up with your shows. Like, you're wonderful with each other.
We have fun. We do. We have fun on here. So I'm a lucky man. I'm a lucky man that I get to work with great people. But guys, I want to say thank you for watching. We really appreciate you so much. And I hope you have a great day, have a great weekend, and we will see you guys next week. Talk to you soon.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.